questions in my mind. I've been scared, but I know I have a Savior who knows right where I am and hears my prayer. In the midst of all my problems and the burdens of this life, I will call upon the one who can get me through the night. Lord, hold my hand in the middle of my storm. When I'm sinking down, help me to stand. When the waves are crashing round, may I keep my eyes on you. Lord, you're the only one who can help me get through the middle of my storm. I don't know how the story will end. I didn't see in the plans you have for me, but I know that I can trust in the one who's working all things for my good. Though I may not know the answers till I reach the other side, I will keep my eyes on Jesus till my faith becomes sight. Lord, hold my hand in the middle of my storm. When I'm sinking down, help me to stand. When the waves are crashing round, may I keep my eyes on you. 'Cause Lord, you're the only one who can help me get through the middle of my storm. Lord, you're greater than my problems, greater than my fears. You're greater than my weakness, greater than my tears. And you've never let me down. And you are here with me right now.
Right now.
Lord, hold my hand in the middle of my storm. When I'm sinking down, help me to stand. When the waves are crashing round, may I keep my eyes on you. 'Cause Lord, you're the only one who can help me get through. You are the only one who can help me get through the middle of my storm. The middle of my sometimes in this life, you might get discouraged. You wonder if you're all alone. You're just barely hanging on. Just stop and remember all the things He's done for you. Just look up to Jesus, and He will pull you through. So I will lift my the one who goes before me. Lift my praise to the one who sets me free. If I'm on the mountain high or in the valley low, I will lift my praise for the world to know. I will lift my praise for the world to know. To know.
Said you never leave us or forsake us, and it's true. You're my today and my tomorrow. I'm not living without you. So I'll give you every breath. Lord, use me as you will. You made a way when there was no way. I can help but worship you. So I will lift my praise to the one who goes before me.
Lift my praise to the one who sets me free. If I'm on the mountain high or in the valley low, I will lift my praise for the world to know. I will lift my praise for the world to know. To know.
You're my light in my dark hour. You're my sunshine in the rain. I'm surrounded by
You're my Savior, you're my anchor, you're my refuge through the storm. I can't help but speak your name, Lord. We're gonna praise forevermore.
So I will lift my praise to the one who goes before me. Lift my praise to the one who sets me free. If I'm on the mountain high or in the valley low,
I will lift my praise to the one who goes before me. Lift my praise to the one who sets me free. If I'm on the mountain high or in the valley low, I will lift my praise for the world to know. I will lift my praise for the world to know. To know.
Well, God bless America.
Amen.
Let me rephrase that. God has blessed America.
Amen.
And now it's time for America to bless God. And I want to welcome everyone this morning to Calvary Baptist Church of Powder Springs. Good to see everybody. And I was just running about 30 seconds behind this morning. I was in the building just trying to wrap up some loose ends. And anyway, so good to be here. So good to see you. And I wonder if we have any first-time visitors with us. If this is your first time, would you raise your hand? We got one right here, a couple, three, four in the back. That's a blessing. Our ushers will make sure that you will receive a visitor's card, a record of your visit with us today. And so glad for you to be with us in our service, our 4th of July service on this Sunday. Again, it's good to be here, and I hope you've come to worship the Lord on this day today. Let me mention a couple things, and then we will continue in our hour of worship and singing, and then we'll bring the message in just a little while. No PM service tonight. A lot of people are going to be gone. And let me just say that just because there's times where some of our people will be gone, that don't mean we're going to cancel service every time. Please know that. But this particular time, a couple other particular times here recently, we've done that. We just felt like it was the thing to do. So just remember, no service tonight, but spend time with your family, celebrating not only the freedom in our country that was paid for by blood, but the freedom we have spiritually that was paid for by blood. And the ultimate freedom, the freedom that's found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say that I've been living in this land of freedom physically for 40 years, Brother Don. But I've been experiencing the freedom in Jesus this November 19th to be 20 years. So almost half my life I've been a Christian, and I've been experiencing the joy of the Lord. Not that when you're a Christian everything is perfect or fine and dandy, but there's a reservoir of joy you can tap into that only belongs to the believer, and I'm so very thankful and grateful for that. Just wanted to express that. And of course, today we're thinking about all of those who gave their life for our freedom. All have given some, but there are some who've given all. And so we are definitely recognizing those today within our service. I do want to ask if you'd continue to remember Brother Bobby McClendon. He is having a rough time trying to rid this himself of this COVID. And so he's at home, of course, been home past few nights. He's been sleepless and restless. Miss Nancy, of course, has been keeping me updated. And she said this morning that another restless night last night, just the coughing just will not stop, just continual coughing. They've given him all kinds of medicine for that. But please remember them. I'm sure they're watching this morning. We love you guys, praying for you and your healing, Brother Bobby. Miss Catherine Plemons is home today, not feeling well. Not really sure what's going on with her, but I did get word that she's not feeling well and not going to be here. So praying for Miss Catherine this morning. And then the Palmers are trying to totally rid themselves of this COVID. I believe Miss Dolores is over it, but Brother Leonard is trying to shake himself from it. So praying for you guys. I know you're watching. That you'll recover here soon enough of your COVID experience. But I know there's many more that's suffering and in need, and so we're remembering them. Remember everybody on our prayer list. You can grab a bulletin in the foyer behind you or the front, in front of you, down to my right and your left, a bulletin for this particular Sunday. That'll give you a full list of everyone, most of everyone in the prayer needs we have, but also everything else that's going on this month will be listed in that bulletin. All right. You glad you're here? Say amen. Amen. All right. Let's worship the Lord. Father, we love you today. We thank you. We praise you for everything. And God, we celebrate this 4th of July weekend. God, we're celebrating the freedom, the U.S. of A, although it seems like we're going in reverse and there's not many freedoms anymore we have in this land. But God, we're thankful that you have blessed this land. And God, we bless you. And we are of utmost thankfulness. And we're so grateful, Lord, for the freedom that's found in Jesus. Lord, we're here today to offer that to man, the freedom that's found in you. I pray that you would make it simple to be understood today through your scriptures. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to every heart today. And Father, by the time we leave, my prayer is that we would be more at peace with ourselves and be more spiritually encouraged than when we walked in this morning. And if we can achieve that, and if some soul can get saved and some believer come back to the cross, then today would have been, will be a blessing. We love you, we thank you today, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Play softly. Sunday morning offering. Kind of working backwards this morning. Yes, ma'am. Sure, please. And so remember that, and we'll keep you informed with that. And well, let's bless the offering, and then we'll have another song, and then we'll bring the message. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, for what you do. Bless this moment of giving. Lord, may we give back to you a portion of that which you've increased us with financially, God, a tithe, a 10%. And Father, may we even go beyond that with an offering for whatever we feel led to give to the Church of God. We love you today. We praise you. Bless this offering. Bless the singing, the song that comes next. And when it comes time for preaching, bless that as well. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We are heaven's children's church. lately, you know, in the world.
But I don't know about you. I come with a posse when I come to church, a whole lot of us. And I come in sometimes carrying things, sometimes stressed out, sometimes worried about things. That's what we talked about in Sunday school. What's holding us? What is something where our struggle is? And, you know, sometimes my struggle is just settling because I'm raising four kids. I'm trying to keep a house moving and things going. But I just love, when I thought about this song this morning, I really didn't know what I was going to sing yet on the way to church, and this song just kept coming to me because all we have to do is speak his name. That's it. We breathe his, just breathe in him and speak him, and peace comes. No matter what we're going through, no matter the chaos that may travel with us in our van on the way to church, we can speak Jesus' name and there's peace. So I would just encourage you, whatever may be going on in your life, it may be, you know, anything, but just know that all you have to do is speak his name. And if you're one of his children, if you've been saved and you belong to him, he's right there. I mean, he's right there with you when you just speak his name. So I pray that you'll do that and think about that this morning as I sing.
In and out of situations that tug of war at me, all day long I struggle for the answers that I need. But then I come to his presence, and all my questions become clear, and for that sacred moment, no doubt can interfere. In the
blessing this morning in the presence of Jehovah. I want to mention something before we get into the message this morning. Somebody has a birthday today by the name of David Henderson. So can we, there we go. Yeah. Brother David, he goes without saying all the things he does around here. Some are seen, but most of them are unseen. Brother will work his job, work a little side job on the way home from work, and go by the church before bedtime to solve an issue if it's going on here. So we appreciate Brother David so very much. What's that? 65. Brother Harold said 60. Miss Glenda said, 65. Those 5 years is accounted for. And so we appreciate Brother David, Miss Glenda. Love you guys. So happy birthday. Hope you have a very special day, as special as you are. And I believe we have a 4th of July birthday tomorrow, don't we? Miss Carla Rich, so happy early birthday to you. Brother Don says she's my firecracker. And so what a blessing to celebrate these birthdays. And Brother David's being today. All right. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, we'll turn to Mark 5 this morning. Mark 5, and Brother Harold's already there. Mark chapter number 5. A lot of times I try to bring a message that's suitable for the holiday, but that don't always work. And definitely for Christmas it works every year, Easter. But we could have mentioned many of things concerning Israel and the freedom they experienced coming out of Egyptian bondage. But this morning we're going to talk about a certain woman in verse number 25 of Mark 5 who experienced a great liberty, a great freedom. So I guess it does have a lot to do with our holiday of freedom, 4th of July. But a great freedom this woman found in Jesus. And so we want to do our best to try to mention some things here, and then we'll be through. But let's pray, and then I want to read one verse number 25 out of Mark 5. Father, we come one more time, one last time before we began, Lord, to read your word. God, your word is already anointed and touched. But Father, I pray that you'd anoint and touch me. Lord, I pray that you would allow me to say only the things that would please you, nothing out of the flesh. God, I pray, Holy Spirit, you would give me the tongue of the learned, Lord. Let me say the things only you would have me to say. I pray for spiritual power, for physical strength. I pray for a clear head and a calm heart. Lord, this is all about you and your people today, and nothing about me. I just want to be fit for your use. We love you today. We need you today. We praise you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Mark chapter number 5, verse number 25. One verse is going to be our text verse, this verse, verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years. That's our main verse this morning. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years. We see this morning there is a woman here who had an unresolved issue. Notice, if you would, the word issue. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. That word issue has a double meaning. It means, number one, an important topic, or it means problem. In light of this text, it means a flowing issue. Most believe that this was some kind of internal bleeding or hemorrhaging that she dealt with for 12 years of her life, losing blood and having a complication of blood within her body. So the word issue, it means an important topic. It means problem, or it means a flowing issue. And so this morning we have a woman with a problem of blood. She had a blood issue. And let me say on that same token that I believe that not only this woman we read of here in Mark 5, verse 25, had an issue in her life, I believe that we all have issues that we deal with from time to time. We're living in bodies that are fleshly, that will go to the grave one day. And we're living in a world that is troubled. I've been using the word a lot lately, vicious. We're living in a vicious world that is troubled. And trying to raise a family in a vicious, troubled world, trying to be a parent, trying to be an employee on the job that is there every time you should be, and a faithful one, it just goes without saying that we all experience issues. We all experience problems in life. We all have things that come into our lives, and sometimes they're unresolved. And so this morning I want to use that idea for my title. The same as this woman here had this unresolved issue, I want to preach on unresolved issues. Unresolved issues. What is it in your life that's unresolved this morning? What issues are you dealing with in your home that's been lingering and lasting? And they're problematic issues. They're problematic. Again, the word issue means problem or an important topic. What kind of important topics have you been dealing with in your home, in your marriage? Parentally, as a parent with your children, what kind of things have you been dealing with in your life? What kind of issues? Again, we all have issues, but sometimes these issues are unresolved. Sometimes we just hope that these issues will go away. Sometimes we just hope that we'll wake up one morning and our issue will be gone. Well, sometimes they will. Sometimes, and most of the times, they won't just go away. They're not like a bad cold that you fight, and then one day it's gone. But much of the time, these issues that we deal with in our lives must indeed be dealt with. We must deal with these things and deal with them sooner than later for the benefit of us and our families. And so this morning, I want to mention some things from this lady's experience with her blood issue that she dealt with for 12 years. And I think we can identify with some of her struggle. And on the same token, I think that there's the answer within her experience that's the same answer for us in our situations. And so, unresolved issues. Number one, I want you to notice in verse 25, we see the duration of her issue. The duration. You say, what do you mean duration? Well, length of time. How long did she have her issue that was unresolved? Well, the Bible says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. She had an issue of blood within her body for 12 long years. And that's a long time dealing with something, isn't it? Something unresolved, something problematic, something that could actually kill you at any time. Something that's detrimental to your life, something that's personal, something that's terrible, something that you even sought help for, but there was no help to be found. This woman, 12 years long, she dealt with this personal, painful problem. I want to ask, how long have you been dealing with your situation in life? Whatever situation it is, again, it could be something financially. It could be something physically, mentally. It could be something as a parent, grandparent, an employee on the job. We don't know. I don't know your heart this morning. Only you know and God knows. But what is it that you've been dealing with for such a long time that has been so personal and painful to your life? If you live on planet Earth long enough, and we're all here this morning and we can talk and look at each other. So we've been here on planet Earth for some time. And you know that it goes without saying that we will deal with issues, and some issues we'll deal with for a long time. This morning, I'm thinking about Brother Dion, Miss Elna, and the issue they had for such a long time being, getting everything finalized to be Americans and all, making it final, coming from Africa. And what a blessing it is that finally it got finalized. After all that time and all that praying, Brother Dion came up the other Sunday and asked for prayer. And the very next Sunday, he got up and he praised the Lord for what the Lord had done. And then I think it goes without saying, Miss Elna's testimony she gave last Sunday night at the fellowship. Boy, she was excited, wasn't she? She gave great testimony of how the Lord had seen them through that and has saw this issue, and everything is legit now, and they are American citizens of the United States. Nothing to worry about. All in. Everything settled. Everything done. Praise the Lord for that. But it went with some pain, didn't it, during the process? There was this longevity, this duration of pain, and it was very personal because they were here serving and at the children's home and loving everybody, and members of Calvary, and working a diesel mechanic, different things that they did. It was a very personal thing to live in America, yet not be finalized as an American. And so we have issues in our life that come and they stay and they linger. And sometimes these are personal issues. They're very painful and they just linger. And we all have issues. Question is, what's your issue this morning? What's your issue? I want you to notice during the duration of this woman's issue, she experienced three things in verse number 6. She experienced trial, she experienced bankruptcy, and she experienced hurt. Look at verse number 26. And had suffered many things of many physicians. Stop there. She was on a medical trial basis. If you go back and look and really dig in and read and actually read about hemorrhaging and different things, you'll know that there were many, many things that, or at least in the medicine world, there's many things that are done to try to fix people's issues. And so there's a trial basis. Well, she suffered many things. She went through many grievous experiments. I was reading after one commentator. I don't know how true it was, but many agreed with this commentator concerning things that this woman possibly could have went through with her trial of trying to stop her hemorrhaging and her blood issue. There were times where she had to go and actually sit over fires that were dug out in the ground with hot coals and the heat and the smoke and all. They would stand over these fires trying to just heat the body and dry up the body from its blood issue. Sounds very painful to me. All kinds of things they would go through, all kinds of trials and torments that she would go through trying to fix her blood issue. And so she had a long time of trial trying to fix her problem. How many things have you been through trying to fix your problem in life? Whatever issue you may have you tried to, within your own strength, try to find your answers, try to heal your situation, if I can say it that way, try to fix your problems within your own strength and your own avenues? Sometimes that's a painful way of getting issues resolved, trying to fix them on your own. But not only that, not only it was a long time of trial, 12 years, but then the Bible says, and had spent all that she had. So she literally went bankrupt trying to fix her situation with all of these medicine trials and times with these doctors, days and hours spent suffering these many things at the physician's care. And she got to the point where she was bankrupt. So this woman is a woman with 12 years of an unresolved issue that has went down a long road of trial and bankruptcy. What about you this morning? Are you at a place of bankruptcy? I'm not talking necessarily financially, but within your own self, where you're at in your experience of what you're dealing with in your life. Have you tried and tried and tried on your own, but here today you are bankrupt. You have nowhere else to turn. You have no other outlets to plug into. Every road has ended with a dead end, and you're here this morning with your long unresolved issue, and you're totally bankrupt. And you may say, well, Brother Justin, that's me this morning. That's me this morning. I've had this unresolved issue, and I'm trying to fix it and trying to figure it out. And I've tried going down this road, and it was a dead end. And I tried to go and plug into this outlet, but it gave me no hope or strength. I still have this unresolved issue. And today I'm here, I'm at church, and I'm just totally bankrupt. I don't know what to do. Can I say this morning that you are at a very pivotal place? And you could be at a very good place. Because many times when we use our own strength and we use our own strategies and we try to figure things out on our own and we try to, well, 1 + 1 = 2, 2 + 2 = 4. We try to plug into this outlet and it gives no power. We try to try this thing on this road, but it's a dead end. And we try and we try and we try within our own strength and abilities to try to solve our issues. Many times we'll end up at a place where it's just a dead end. And we're bankrupt. And a lot of people will think, well, that's a bad place to be. It could be a bad place, but it could be also a place of blessing. Because this woman here, when she suffered many things of the many physicians in verse 26, so she was tired of that. And then she spent all that she had. And then the Bible says that she was nothing better, but rather she grew worse. And say what you will this morning, you can say it was just happen chance, it was luck. I'll say it's the divine sovereignty of God that at that very moment where she was long going of trial, she was bankrupt and she was hurting and it was getting worse, she had nothing left to offer, at that very moment she heard that Jesus was passing by. You don't tell me that's luck this morning. That is the sovereignty of Almighty God. How many times in life does God come by our way when we are bankrupt? When we've tried all that we could possibly try to draw spiritual strength from this outlet, from that road that was a dead end. How many times have we tried to fulfill our hearts with the things of this old world only to lead us to a broken path? But at the same time, those are times when Jesus is near. At the same time, those are times when Christ can be touched. Just read with me, if you would, verse number 27. when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. What a blessing this morning. What a blessing. This woman, she had an unresolved issue. And the duration of time she had this issue was 12 years. It was a long road of trial and bankruptcy and hurt. So I want to ask you this morning, are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Can you get to we could also get to a place, all of us, where we're like this woman, where she was bankrupt, she was hurting, she was sick and tired, I guess you could say, of being sick and tired. We all can get to this place. We see the duration of her issue. But then, I want you to notice the desperation that she had. Now, we were kind of tippy-toeing into this a moment ago, but we're going to get all the way in now. Notice in verse number 27 again. It says, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. She had a desperation to be healed. She had a desperation for her unresolved issue to be solved. So number one, she had an unresolved issue for 12 years. Number two, she spent all that she had and was still not better. But then number three, now she heard Jesus was passing by. So she desperately made her way to him. Do you know that oftentimes in life, desperation can lead us to our healing? Desperation can lead us to liberty. Many times, the desperation that we're experiencing in life because of our unresolved issues, many times it will lead us to the feet of Jesus if we allow it to. And then we'll find the help that we need. So she was desperate. She was desperate. I do want to say this, though. If we come first to him, we wouldn't have to be desperate to come to him. If we made him our first choice and not our last resort. I was listening to a preacher coming in on the radio this morning, Pastor Benny Tate. I love Benny Tate. Love his preaching. Always have. Preaching on Jesus and walking on the water and talk about the boat and the guys. He said, you know what, church? He said, they waited to pray when their boat was filled with water. It was just a simple statement, but it's so true. He said, don't wait to pray when your boat is filled with water and you're sinking. He said, pray first. And I say this morning, pray first. I think sometimes we have unresolved issues in our life that prolong and that are painful and personal is because we don't make Jesus our first resort, but we make him our last resort. What is it that you're going through this morning? Pray. What are you experiencing this morning that's painful and hurtful? You say, Brother Justin, I can't change everything in my life. You can't change everything in your life. No, but you can change you. You can change you. And then allow your light to shine around everybody around you. And you watch and see as you pray and walk toward the light yourself continually. You'll see how the Lord will change everybody around you one by one. If you allow your light to shine. This woman, she had a desperation about her. She heard of Jesus. Now, she must have had some element of faith because she came in the crowd behind him. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. So she had some element of faith. You may be here this morning, you may not have great faith. You may have a faith and doubt mix going on. where you believe God, but yet will God. We all know God can, but the question is, will God? And so sometimes we have this mixture of doubt and faith. And sometimes we're not operating out of grace faith. Oh, bless God, come what may, I believe God. Though the lightning flashes and the thunder roars, I choose to believe God. Sometimes we don't have great faith like that. But all it takes, Brother Ceylon, is an element of faith. All it takes is an element of faith. She had an element of faith, and she believed in that element of faith that she had in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so she came desperate. She came broken. She came troubled and bothered. After all of these years, she was ready to be done. She creeped in the crowd. She touched his garment, and she was made whole. This morning, according to the Word of God, Jesus is with us in this building. Yes, Calvary Baptist Church. You go back and you read the seven churches of Asia Minor and the book of Revelations, it tells us that he is in the midst of every church. That is the church age. He is walking in the midst. If you read the introduction of every letter, it's something about the Son of God relevant to the church today. Jesus is here today. And if you have an unresolved issue, if you have something in your heart, in your life you're dealing with and struggling with, I urge you, I beseech you to come to the cross today. Come and do what Peter says and cast your care upon him, for he cares for you. Actually, Peter says casting all of your cares upon him. I remember one time, it's been many times, but one of the first times after being saved, going to work at Floyd Road as the building grounds man, I remember trying to remember and recite 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And I was going through a time where I was dealing with something, and I thought for sure the Lord, I don't know, wasn't interested. I'm a new believer. I don't know. Maybe the Lord didn't care. It felt like my problem was too minute for him. He's dealing with bigger problems. And as I was reciting that verse and trying to remember that verse, it dawned on me. It says, casting all your care. Which told me anything I care about, he cares about. And so it doesn't matter how minute, listen, young person, teenager, whoever you are here that's young of age, you got these problems that you think that are minute, or you got problems in your life as a young person, I want you to know that God cares about those problems. And he will help you as a young person. But also on the other end, for the older person who's here, and you feel like you have no more strength to climb your Christian journey, you feel like, well, God is just done with me because my old age. That's not true. He wants you to cast all your care upon him, because he cares for you. Did he not use Moses at, 80 years old or 120 years old? Did he not use Moses? I guess the life of Moses is three sets of 40s, 40, 80, and then 120. And Caleb, who asked for a mountain. Listen, whether you're on this end of the spectrum where you're a young person and you're just worried about your grades at school, you feel like God don't care about them, or you're an old person, you feel like God won't use you or can't use you, this morning God wants you to cast all your cares upon him, whether you're young or whether you're old. Why? Because he cares for you this morning. He wants you to take that moment of desperation when you're a young person in school and really go to him for strength and help. And the old person as well, he wants you to go to him for strength and help as well. And everybody on the middle were to go to him for strength and help. This woman had an element of faith. She tried everything else. Nothing worked. Why not try Jesus? And she came in. The village was busy. People were shoving. Big old tall people, all kinds of shapes and sizes people in front of her. She tried everything she could try, and she was still nothing bettered. But she heard Jesus was passing through. She knew who he was. She believed in him. And she had that element of faith working on her behalf. And so she just reached through and touched him. I think there's a lot of things that are interesting in these verses. But verse number 30 is really interesting. Look here. Read with, or listen. It says verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Are you kidding me? You've got all these people touching you. What do you mean, "Who touched my clothes?" Well, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, I'm just giving out names, you know. Touched your clothes. And, you know, all these other people over here in the village touched your clothes. Your disciples touched your clothes. These touched your... What are you talking about, "Who touched me?" Jesus recognizes true desperation, who truly needs a touch this morning. He knew this woman was truly desperate for a touch. And what the drive, the reason all these others were touching him, why didn't he recognize their touches? Probably because they were trying to touch him for the wrong reason. I don't know. "Touch me, Lord, so I'll be rich. Touch me, Lord, so I'll be famous. Oh, you're the miracle worker. Touch me. I want to work miracles and have attention to my name." That ain't the right reasons. "Oh, touch me so I can have a brand new house and brand new car. Touch me, Lord. Touch me, Lord, so I can strut in the village and everybody will know that I follow you." But then here was a lady. "Oh, Lord Jesus, I'm about to die. Please, Lord, touch me. Who touched me? Somebody touch me." He knew who it was that touched him. She knew that she had touched him. And so there was a meeting of desperation in the power of God. And in that moment, she was healed from her desperate situation. You have unresolved issues this morning. I'll tell you what the answer is. It's Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Are you desperate? Go to him. Are you not desperate? Go to him. Are you past desperation? Go to him. We find the same circumstance, really, in the life of Bartimaeus. Turn, if you would, just for a moment to Mark chapter number 10. Mark 10. We know blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, verse 46, Mark 10, sat by the highway side begging. Verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Not only do I like that in verse number 47, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me," calling out to the Messiah for help. He believed in him, heard of him. And so he called out to him for help. But then in verse number 48 it says, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. Do you believe that? Here was blind Bartimaeus. "Lord, touch me, Lord. Heal me, Lord. Have mercy on me, Jesus." "Oh, be quiet, man. Shh. You know what the brethren's going to think? Shh. Brother Richard, don't you get excited in church? Have mercy on me, thou son of David." "Shh, man. Brother Harold, be quiet over there. You want to embarrass us. We want to be dignified in our worship. We want to be silent in our worship." So what was blind Bartimaeus supposed to do? "Have mercy on me, thou son of David." I guess if that was his personality, that'd work. But to me, it shows he had a desperation. Bible says, but verse 48, but he cried the much more, a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." When someone really needs a touch from God, listen, everybody has their own personalities. I understand that. But there's something about pain. There's something about just being in a situation for so long where you need help. And then you understand that Jesus is here and He wants to help you and He can help you. There's others to testify that Jesus has helped them in their lives. And it boils and it builds. And then suddenly you're able with all your faith and grit and everything that you are to just shout out to Jesus, Lord, help me and change my situation. Guess what the Bible says? Guess what the Bible says in verse 49? And Jesus stood still. Church, listen. You can get the attention of Jesus this morning. No matter where you're at in life, how young, how old, or in between, you can get the attention of God if you want it this morning. There's no need for your issue to prolong today. Now, I understand there's the particulars of everybody's issue. It's very complex. I get that. I know I'm a very complex person, okay? I have issues. You have issues. My issues are very complex, and they're very particular. A lot of them are on top of one another, side by side, like building blocks. It's hard to get to the root of it sometimes. But you know what? No matter how complex your problem is, how particular your problem is, there's no problem that Jesus cannot solve and see straight through to your need. Jesus stood still. He stood still for Bartimaeus. And so the Bible goes on, verse 50, he cast away his garment. He was able to see. And what a blessing that was. Back to Matthew 25 for just a moment. Matthew 25. Hold on. Matthew 5, verse 25. Mark, is that right? Thank you. Boy, I get going and I'm everywhere. Mark 5. Yeah, don't worry about that, brother. Mark 5. Jeez. All right. So we were looking at the desperation that she had. Verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press and touched his garment. I want to mention this and we'll be through. But it's going to be a few minutes, so hold on, song leaders. Our musician, Brother David. Notice, if you would, verse number 22. I want to look at the delay of the Lord. There was a situation taking place before this situation. Verse number 22, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogues, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and she may live. And Jesus went with him, literally walking with Jairus to his house for his problem. And much people followed him and thronged him. Then we bump into verse 25 where this woman of issue of blood takes place. And she touches him. So the story stops of Jairus and his daughter being sick. Jesus was en route with Jairus to see his daughter at the point of death. And then verse number 35 picks back up and she's now dead. It's kind of familiar, isn't it? Story when Lazarus died and Jesus could have been there, but he stayed where he was at a couple days. He stayed right where he was at, knowing of the situation. And so what we have here is we have an interruption from this woman with the issue of blood. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Justin? Well, we see that the Lord had a delay on Jairus and his daughter, but yet he healed this woman with the issue of blood in the meantime. He passed by. She, through the element of faith, reached out and touched him. And many times, and listen to me when I say this, I'm saying it in such a way so we can easily understand it. Many times, people in life will have issues. God will take his own personal time for you. I'm not saying that he's going to delay someone else's issue and deal with yours. He will just make time for you. Here in the scriptures, he delayed this issue that came before her, made time for this woman. And that's what he'll do for you in your life. He will delay other appointments, if I can say it that way, to make time for your appointment. But at the same time, he is omniscient. He knows everything. At the same time, he's omnipotent. He has all power. And at the same time, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. And so Jesus will make time for you. Jesus made time for this woman. Jairus had a real need with his daughter, but yet Jesus took time for this woman. Now, you say, what happened to Jairus' daughter? Well, verse number 35, the Bible says, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain, which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master, the master any further? Verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Now, if you go down to verse number 41, he says this, and he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. Isn't that something? And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And so sometimes God will take time for us and deal with us, and he will delay other issues as we read it in this account. But then, just because you may have a delay in your life where you feel like God needs to heal your situation, touch your life, at the same time, he allows delays because greater are the miracles that come. You remember what he told the disciples? Jesus said he's asleep, and well, he's good. Let him sleep on. No, he's dead. Well, Mary, Martha, and the rest of them, well, Lord, if you had been here. And there's a particular verse in that account that says, this he done to prove to them. And so basically, he allowed Lazarus to die because he knew he was going to raise him, and greater the miracle would be. Let me ask you something. If Jesus would have walked up to Lazarus' tomb, or if Jesus would have made that visit before he died, said, okay, Lazarus, I was called for, you're about to die. Boom, healed. And he was healed, he wasn't sick. That would have been great, wouldn't it? But what's greater? That he died and Jesus rose him from the dead. The second is a greater miracle. And you see, sometimes in life, Jesus will come by and touch us and heal us and give us direction, allow problems to be solved. But other times, there's these, what we think are delays, like in Jairus' daughter. But then Jesus came by and he healed Jairus' daughter, rose her from the grave. Either way you look at it, Jesus is the answer. Either way you slice it, Jesus will immediately intervene in our life, or Jesus will intervene at a later time, depending on what he wants to do. This morning we see the delay of the Lord, and that is, while he was going to Jairus' house, he healed this woman who reached out in faith. And the same could take place for us in our life. We can reach out to him in faith. And sometimes we feel like Jairus' daughter or Jairus, that the Lord is delaying our situation for someone else. Sometimes we feel like God is blessing this one at church and that one. Sometimes on the job, God is blessing this one and that one. And yet you have your needs and situations in life, and you've been praying and crying out to God, and no help, no help. Kind of feel like Jairus. God has just went on to somebody else's situation. But my word to you today, if you feel that way, is just hang in there and don't be discouraged, because God knows of your situation currently. And his delays aren't always denials. Sometimes he is wanting to create a bigger miracle from a delayed situation of his intervention. This morning, that's the message: unresolved issues, the duration of her issue, the desperation she had, the delay of the Lord. Father, we love you today. We pray, Lord, that you'd use the message this morning. God, I pray that I got it out as simple as possible, easy to understand. At least that's my desire anyway. And I pray, Lord, that you would apply it to the heart that needs it the most this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. We'll give a verse of invitation. If you want to come and pray to the Lord and do business with him, that's why we give invitations.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Anyone else?
Look full in his wonderful face.
Bring your unresolved issues.
And the things of earth will grow strangely dim. In the light of his glory and grace.
Feel free to come if you need to come. You may just want to come and praise the Lord. You may not even be going through anything, a time of struggle. You may just want to come and thank him. You can do that.